speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
We live in a world today where many people question baptism. As we look to the denominational world in whole says that baptism is not necessary for the forgiveness of sin. Yet in the Lord's church, we contend, and I believe rightfully so, that unless an individual is buried with Christ in baptism, they will be lost eternally. So today, to begin with, I want to define what the Bible has to say with reference to baptism. To begin with, we need to understand that baptism is a commandment of God. Whenever the Scripture uses command or commandment, God is identifying here from the context that He's not suggesting something, but rather He is ordering something. And when we look to the things that God gives from a command or a commandment point of view, sometimes it is followed with or it begins with saying this is a commandment of God. But also, from time to time, we will find is that God just states explicitly or even various level of times implicitly what it is that He is commanding. I want us to understand that salvation, to begin with, is in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said in the book of John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through Me. It is only through Christ, through the blood of Christ, and through the truth of Christ that you and I are able to have our sins forgiven and to be counted as a child of God. We read concerning following Christ, according to what the Apostle Paul said to the saints at Colossae in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Paul, as he has stated in regard to what constitutes scriptural worshiping God in song, he says, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Friends, to do it in the name of Jesus means that we do it by the authority of Christ. And baptism is authorized by God, and baptism is commanded by God. Why? Because Jesus Christ our Lord presents that we must be baptized. In the book of Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, as our Lord has been resurrected from the grave and appears before the apostles in Galilee, He, in appearing before them, said, all power or authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. With that power and that authority, friends, He goes on to say to the apostles that they were to go into all nations, doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And He says that this is how disciples were made. Friends, we need to understand that this is one place of many where God commands mankind to be baptized. So what is baptism? It is a commandment of God. But also, the Bible identifies to us that baptism is an act of obedient faith. We must believe in God. We must believe that God exists. We must believe that God is eternal in His existence. As well, then, we need to understand and to believe that He is going to be a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. In our belief in God, friends, we come to God in baptism with that belief. Jesus said in the book of Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be condemned. Whenever we believe in God, it's more than just saying, I believe in God. God expects us to demonstrate our belief through obedient actions. And the first step that God expects us to take in obedience is confessing Christ and submitting ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And friends, whenever we do so, then the Bible identifies to us that we are counted as children of God. Why? Because we become clothed in Christ through baptism. Baptism is an act of obedient faith. But friends, also the Bible identifies for us is that it is an appeal before our God and our Creator. An appeal for what? What are we asking God to do? According to what we read in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, Peter speaks in that immediate context with reference to the eight souls in the days of Noah who were saved by water. He goes on in verse 21 to say that there is an antitype which now saves us, baptism. I didn't say that. Peter did, by way of inspiration. Baptism saves us. And what is baptism according to what Peter says? He says that it's not for the removal of the filth of the flesh, but rather it is for the answer of a good conscience before God. The word answer in the King James and the New King James needs to be understood as an appeal. As we obey Christ in baptism, we are looking to God to do what God commands us to do, as well as we are looking to God to follow through with what it is that He says that He will do. What is it that God says that He will do whenever we are baptized? Friends, He promises us that our sins will be forgiven. It is in baptism that we come in contact with the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 says that we are redeemed by the blood of Christ. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 says that we come in contact with the death of Christ, His blood, when at the point of baptism. And therefore, as we are putting Christ on in baptism, we are at the same time appealing to God to forgive us, as He has promised He will do. And friends, you and I know that God is faithful and God will indeed forgive us of our unrighteousness whenever we put Christ on in baptism. What are the categories in regard to baptism? Who does God say must be baptized? To begin with, we need to understand that all who are counted as alien sinners in the sight of God, who fits this category? Anyone who has not been baptized into Christ. Sin separates man from God. And all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. And also as a result of that sin, Paul says in the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death. And the only way that those who are outside of Christ can be forgiven of their sin is if they will submit themselves in love to God, to obey Christ in baptism. And then they will no longer be strangers of God, but rather they will be citizens in the kingdom of God. They will be counted as the family of God. Why? Because in baptism, sins are indeed forgiven. But friends, also there's another area that we need to think about those who need to be baptized into Christ. The Scripture identifies to us in a very clear fashion that children are safe in the sight of God. We live in an age today where in the denominational world they tell us that children inherit the sins of Adam and that they need to be cleansed or to be purified whenever they're in that infant state. But friends, the Bible identifies to us in a very clear language that children do not need to be purified of anything. Why? Because they are seen as pure and innocent in the sight of God. Jesus teaches this in the book of Matthew chapter 18 verses 1 through 4, where He calls a little child into the midst of Himself and to the apostles, and He says, unless you become converted and become as one of these children, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. Children are safe with God. They do not require baptism. But it's only at the point of accountability. Not an age of accountability, but a point of accountability. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20 says, the soul that sins, it shall die. And whenever that soul comes to understand the difference of what sin is and obeying God, then that soul becomes accountable before God, and it is at that point of accountability then that that soul must submit to Christ in baptism. But friends, also there's a third area that I want us to think about as to those who must be baptized in order for their sins to be forgiven. And that would be those people who would question their baptism. There are all kinds of baptisms that are out there in the world today. But it's only the baptism that one comes in contact with the blood of Christ that offers salvation. It is water baptism. And anyone who has received anything other than water baptism is lost. But it's not only water baptism. Friends, it is water baptism where an individual is buried with Christ in baptism, where that they are immersed into the water, completely covered, and then they are raised to walk in newness of life. So it's water baptism to be buried with Christ, But also we need to understand that these individuals must be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. And yet at the same time, as we look to the religious world, the majority do not baptize for the forgiveness of sin. So anyone who has been baptized in any other way other than the way that God commands man to be baptized, these individuals are essential for these individuals to be scripturally baptized into Christ. But also there may be that area within this realm where people might question their baptism and they're a member of the Lord's church. And what I mean by that is that maybe they were baptized at a young age, or maybe they felt as if they were forced into being baptized, or they felt as if peer pressure led to them being baptized. And friends, if that is the case, if they were forced into it, or if they felt as if their peer pressure was there and therefore they felt an obligation to be baptized for any other reason than what we have defined today, these individuals also then need to be rebaptized, if you would, in order for their sins to be forgiven by God. What are reasons for baptism? People are baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin because of their love for God. We are commanded to love God. And as we look to loving God, we are to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. What does it mean to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? It means that we love God first and foremost above anyone or anything. And the love that God wants us to have for Him needs to be the driving force behind our obedience to Him, beginning in baptism, but friends, also then as we would live our life as servants of God here in this world. Jesus said in the book of John chapter 14 and verse 15, "If you love Me, keep My commandments." We've already said that baptism is a commandment. And therefore, if we are wanting to be baptized into Christ, we need to have a love for God that says, I want to do this because of the way in which I feel about God, knowing the way in which He feels about me. I know that God loves me, and therefore my love for God is also there, and because I love God, hence I want to be baptized into Christ to have my sins forgiven. For friends, also, as we would obey Christ in baptism and walk worthy of the calling of which we have been called, I'm reminded of what Peter says happens as a result of our obeying Him. In John chapter 15, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, "Greater loveth no man than this, and that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are My friends if you do whatsoever I command you." If we love God and obey Christ in baptism, we become a friend of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is our friend, and He calls us unto a friendship. But also, I submit for our understanding and consideration this morning, another reason to be baptized is because of one's desire and belief in heaven. We believe in heaven, and based out of that belief in heaven, we have a desire to go to heaven and to spend eternity there with our God. And I would hope and pray that anyone who is being baptized is that these individuals are not only looking for the moment and the relationship that we have. That is certainly a blessing. But God calls us that as we become His children, to understand that we are a part of a greater kingdom, our citizenship, according to what the Apostle Paul says in the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, resides in heaven. And therefore, those who want to be baptized, they need to believe in heaven and also to desire that eternal reward that God has prepared for His people. But I believe that there's another point that we need to think about as a reason for wanting to be baptized. I don't think that this one needs to be a driving force in it, but at the same time, I do believe that those who put Christ on in baptism need to have this thought in mind. And that is a fear concerning hell. The devil is responsible for hell. And the devil is the ruler of the torment that is there in hell. The Scripture identifies concerning hell is that it is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Scripture identifies to us is that those who go to hell, they will not be able to be in the presence of God. God is not there. Hell is void of God. And therefore, we want to go to be with God, but at the same time, we want to avoid going to hell. Why? Because hell is eternal. Heaven is eternal without end. But also hell is eternal. And those who put Christ on in baptism certainly need to have a certain level of fear about going to hell. What happens in baptism? Whenever people put Christ on in baptism, the very first thing that we ask them to do is what the Ethiopian eunuch was asked to do by Philip. Whenever Philip taught the Ethiopian eunuch concerning Christ, the Scripture identifies to us that as they came into a certain water, he says, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And the eunuch says, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God." And it's based out of that confession then, he put Christ on in baptism. Friends, today, whenever people put Christ on in baptism, we take that great confession. Why? Because it also is a commandment of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Those who put Christ on in baptism, we ask, "Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God?" And when and if they say yes, then we gladly and willingly submit their soul to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. What happens in baptism? Forgiveness of sin is granted. The only way that we can have sin forgiven is to be baptized into Christ. There's nothing that we can do to avoid sin. All sin and fall short of the glory of God. And when we violate the law of God, when we transgress God's law that He has laid down before us, that constitutes sin in the sight of God. And also then, from that point forward, there's nothing that we can do within ourselves to merit salvation. There's nothing that we can dream up with. We can't be extra good and think that that's going to in some way erase our sins. It doesn't work that way. The only way, the only means of redemption is salvation in Jesus Christ through baptism. And friends, whenever we are baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, God grants us forgiveness. We are redeemed, bought back. But also at that given time, immediately, whenever souls put Christ on in baptism, they are added by the Lord unto the church. At least three times this is stated in Scripture explicitly, but also it is inferred in other ways that we are a part of the body. Whenever we are forgiven of our sins in baptism, the Scripture tells us that the Lord adds us to His church. Why is it important to be added to the church? Friends, a very major part of why Jesus came to this world was to establish the church. He came to give us a means of redemption by dying on the cross. But at the same time, He came to establish the body of Christ. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades will not prevail against it." And what we find is that those who put Christ on in baptism, they're added to the church. And why is that important to be added to the church? According to what the Apostle Paul taught to the saints at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24. When the Lord comes in the end, He will lay down all rule, power, and authority and will deliver back up unto the Father the kingdom. The kingdom and the church are synonymous. They're one and the same. And therefore, if we want to go to heaven, then we must be a part of the church. And baptism is where Christ adds us to the church. But also, we need to understand that as we would put Christ on in baptism, there are requirements afterwards. What is it that God requires of us after we become a Christian? Friends, we are commanded by God to worship God upon the first day of the week, to make sure that this is a goal of ours every Sunday, to assemble with those of like precious faith. And as we come together to worship God, that we are worshiping in a place that we can worship in spirit and in truth. And our heart's desire also ought to be to worship God with every opportunity that we have. And here we are blessed. I believe that on the Lord's Day, we come together not only on Sunday morning, we also come together on Sunday nights. And therefore, to become a Christian, one ought to desire to be with God's people in worshiping God every opportunity that we might have, even to come to Bible studies and things of that nature during midweek and even on Sunday mornings. But also, we are commanded as Christians to serve God faithfully throughout life. What does it mean to serve God and to serve God faithfully? Friends, that means that we are not going to put anyone or anything else in front of God. It means that we're going to do all that we can to emulate the life, the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to do everything that is within our power to do to understand the will of God and then to live like a Christian ought to live, to be Christ-like. Hence, we are to worship and to serve God throughout the entirety of our time here. And in order for us to accomplish this, as Christians, we must study the Bible. How ought we to study the Bible? I believe that we need to be like the Bereans. The Bible says concerning those in Berea that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. How? In that they searched the Scripture daily. We ought to be individuals who love God so much that not only do we put Him on in baptism, we search the Scripture daily, individually, looking constantly at the Bible. For what end? Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. He says, study or be diligent to show yourself approved unto God. For a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We study to show ourselves approved unto God, to make sure that we understand what it is that He says to us, but not only that we understand these things, friends, then that we are applying these teachings, these commandments, these ordinances to our everyday walk of life. But you know, there's another great joy that we have as Christians that oftentimes we might not think about, that maybe we will overlook, and that is as a Christian, we ought to be excited. We ought to be zealous to go and to share our faith with others, to tell everyone that we possibly can, our family and friends, I put Christ on in baptism. You want to know why? Because I love God and because I want to dwell eternally in heaven with Him and because God promises to forgive me of my sin. We ought to have that excitement not only whenever we become a Christian, but brothers and sisters, always throughout the course of our life here. I fear sometimes that excitement, that adrenaline wears off. And let's never allow that to happen. And if it has, let's rekindle that fire to understand that as a Christian, we need to go out and to tell everybody and to show everyone what it means to be a child of God. Baptism is not an option, but rather it is a commandment of God. And it may be that we have some here today who have been considering putting Christ on in baptism, but yet at the same time you've not done so. And maybe today's lesson has helped to define some things, and I hope and pray that it has been beneficial for all that is here, but especially for those who are alien sinners who have not yet named Christ as the Son of God. If you're here and you're subject to the Lord's call in any way, please come as